Welcome to Dig Life Deep with John Aidan Byrne.
Well, I hope you're all well and having a wonderful summer. We're going to talk about the current political travails in the United States. Trump charged with election schemes. Trump pleads not guilty to vote plot. The rule of law or no rules. And then on the other side, we have Devin Archer's full Biden story. VP Joe Biden mixed the family business with his Ukraine diplomacy, and VP Biden is now our president. So I'm going to talk about that and give you some thoughts in a wee moment and how our country risks coming apart. And also want to let you know, on my next episode, I just want to give an early heads up. I'll be interviewing the brilliant Eduard Habsburg. He's the Archduke of Austria and the ambassador of Hungary to the Holy See. He's out with his book, The Habsburg Way, 7 Rules for Turbulent Times. We'll talk about that. I interviewed him recently and we will play all of that. Before we get to my commentary on the troubles in our land, it's time for our regular Future Shock 2.0 with workforce trends expert Ira Wolf. I recently asked Ira for his thoughts about the hybrid setup in America and across the West today. Some days at the office, other days remote, sometimes full-time remote, sometimes a hybrid. We discussed the concept of serendipity, creativity, what is often lost in those moments where people are not in person together, how are managers responding to that, how are companies responding to it, and what does the future of remote work look like as more people work from home? Will we lose this sense of serendipity and creativity? Here's Ira Wolf. So serendipity, recreating some kind of sense of community at the workplace, creative things can happen in person, Ira. That's sort of what they're driving at here.
Oh, absolutely. And I fully admit that. You lose serendipity. There are so many times that I get an idea and I wish I could share it. And if I was in an office with people, we can probably, hey, I got this idea. What do you think about this? Now I'd have to pick up a phone. I'd have to send a text. And in that moment, you may just lose, lose that. But I'm also of the belief that some of that loss in serendipity is that we're working remote, but we still have the same rules and protocols and expectations of what it's like to go to an office when everybody's there. And if we learn to use the technology better, if managers learn not just how to conduct a meeting, and they weren't very, by the way, managers were horrible at conducting meetings in person. We know this for years. I mean, that was always the problem. But you and I are old enough to remember when the worst thing that was ever happening in a business was, how do we get people to stop hanging out around the water cooler? And that was a big deal. And then you had policies and HR policies, and people got flagged for spending too much time hanging out in the kitchen or around the water cooler, which is where serendipity happened. Those were the ideas. Those were the conversations. How do we recreate that in space? And maybe that's going to come from the metaverse. You know, maybe we're just in this position between where we were and where we're going, and we don't know how to do it yet. But managers are, and people are going to have to learn the skills, how to leverage serendipity when it happens. Managers are going to have to learn how to create that serendipity. When I say managers, management. But that's going to come from a transformation of the space. So I believe that some of the vacant spaces we have now, there'll be some very creative, innovative ideas, maybe taking co-working spaces to the next level of what that might be. And then again, we talked about this in another episode with the speed of change, the speed that change is happening, the speed of computer and AI. Metaverse seems pretty strange to many of us right now. But it just may be second nature in 10 or 20 years.
An evolution going on, workspaces that will look more like communities, which, I don't know, libraries, hangout centers, green spaces, gymnasiums, places where they can sit and interact and sort of live as if they've created this small village environment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's how, you know, I love this idea of that work should be like a conference. When you went to conferences, there may be a central theme. There's a keynote speaker, and then there's breakout sessions, and people sit at tables, and they sit at tables with new people that they didn't know. And many people sit at the people that they already knew, but they came back and they chatted about things. But when they sat down, they don't immediately talk about business. They talk about their lives and their connection. And I know employers will cringe when I say that, and managers, it's like, we don't pay people to talk about their social lives and socialize. But in order to get people to come back into the office to have that opportunity to collaborate, to generate those ideas, those have those serendipitous moments, they have to socialize. They have to build a connection with other people. Connections don't happen. If you're going to do that, then we go back to what we're talking about avoiding, is having a bunch of robots that don't have any emotions. They don't have kids. They don't have parents. They don't have disease. They don't have bills to pay. They don't have those things to worry about. If you're going to have human connections and you're going to be able to attract the people that you need and retain the people that you need and have a thriving environment, then you're going to have to learn. There's going to have to be a time and a place. It's not all party. People are going to have to learn how to communicate and socialize. And that's just anathema to a lot of employers. I was like, we don't pay you to socialize. Well, I then hire a bunch of robots.
Thank you, Ira Wolf. Ira is a workforce trends expert, TEDx talker, keynote speaker, author, and host of the very popular Geek Skeezers and Googleization podcast, which he also hosts with Jason Cochran. Speaking of podcasts, listen in each week to the top-rated Odeon Capital Conversations podcast with famed bank analyst Dick Beauvais of Odeon Capital Group and Matt Van Alstyne, Odeon Capital Group co-founder and managing partner. Have a really timely episode this past week on inflation. We thought we had it licked here in the US. Dick Beauvais is now filled with conviction that maybe we haven't it licked and it could nudge up menacingly, and we may see a succession of more and more interest rate rises. His logic, his data is impeccable. We could see a rise in inflation. It is certainly a real distinct possibility, and you can get the insight on that on the latest episode of Odeon Capital Conversations up there on Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And of course, Odeon Capital Conversations is a top-ranked podcast on Apple in North America, Europe, Asia, Middle East, and across the globe. I'm your host, John Aidan Byrne.
We keep digging for the secrets and stories of uncommon and everyday things and interesting people.
Okay, so you've been listening to the news, hearing the news, and maybe you're filled with horror, grief, disgust, despair, depression maybe. The rule of law or no rules, which is it for the United States today? It's a great question, and Daniel Henninger at the Wall Street Journal and many more commentators besides him are asking this same question as the crazy and unprecedented spectacle of a former United States President Donald J. Trump and a sitting president, Joseph Biden, face very serious charges, claims, allegations of ethical breaches, legal and constitutional violations, and just bad goings on, and even allegations of crimes. All of this played out in the media and public square across the globe. Just looking at a headline from the Wall Street Journal, Trump pleads not guilty to vote plot. And of course, that refers to the charges that he conspired to overturn the results of the 2020 election. And he appeared in a federal court just blocks from the US Capitol, which his supporters stormed, as you will recall, on January the 6th, 2021. And of course, then on the other side, we had Joe Biden and the shenanigans and all the claims of influence peddling through his son Hunter Biden that came to a new head in recent days with the testimony of a former business associate of Hunter Biden, Devin Archer. You've read about it and you can look it all up. It's just extraordinary to even contemplate it. This is an unparalleled political mess at a time of uncertain global and financial political stability, a war in the Ukraine, deep polarization among populations in the West and maybe across the globe. Now, let's really hope hard and pray hard that the US and global economies don't become inexplicably unglued just as strangely as the global economies have inexplicably stayed glued post-COVID in the face of rising interest rates and rising public and private debt and all kinds of dislocations and labour force and technological disruptions and upheavals. It's quite amazing. Many economists had been predicting a recession and have long anticipated a recession, the recession that has never occurred. That's worthy of a separate episode. But if that recession had occurred or does occur, and it is deep-seated, and if we have additional financial issues arising from our debt situation in America. We saw the debt downgrade of the United States in recent days, and that's something to watch closely at. And of course, I'm referring to the Fitch Ratings decision to downgrade US Treasury debt. Keep watching that. Not a positive sign by any stretch. The market on some level seems to be shrugging it off. We'll have to wait and see. Back to this issue of what's going on with a former president and a sitting president. I'm going to borrow, because I think they're quite brilliant and incisive and gets to the heart of a good argument about this. By these words are by Daniel Henninger in the Wall Street Journal recently, and he says at the center of the legal problems engulfing Donald Trump and Hunter Biden is the refrain that no one is above the law. But in our polarized times, says Daniel Henninger, that truism is dismissed as a political fig leaf. The left says the right thinks Mr. Trump is above the law. The right regards the Hunter plea deal as a mockery of the law. Henninger goes on, despite the standoff, there is a presumption that the rule of law still matters, and that this idea is a bedrock of civilized order shared beyond the United States. But the global rule of law, as it has existed since World War II, may be under challenge. That's what got my attention on this piece. And I think Henninger hits a home run. I'm going to read a little bit more from it, and I'll let you make up your own mind. One of the biggest stories this year was the so-called mutiny by the Wagner paramilitary group fighting for Russia in Ukraine. Now, as you'll recall, the Wagner mercenaries adhere to no standards of modern warfare. They are stone-cold killers. Yes, it's generally believed that no framework exists to prosecute stateless mercenaries for the atrocities they commit. Now, Henninger goes on, though a significant event in the Ukraine war, the mutiny by the Wagner group left the impression that Wagner is a collection of guns for hire. It is more than that. Henninger then goes on to describe a recent piece describing the Wagner group. They have just far-reaching tentacles. They operate something like 70 linked companies that conduct supposedly quote-unquote legitimate businesses in real estate, government contracting, oil mining and natural gas source development. So the head of this Wagner Group, Prigozhin, his shell companies share financing for these commercial operations. Anyway, Henninger in the Wall Street Journal says Prigozhin is a cynic and is sending a message to the world, grow up, the world is returning to survival of the fittest and all your rules be damned. That's how Henninger sums up the attitude of Prigozhin. In Henninger's view, he gets inside the mind of Prigozhin, who is looking at the world as some kind of a rational entrepreneur creating a parallel universe without the burden of accountability. Now, here is the nut of where Henninger is going. There is a lot of talk in the United States of the public losing faith in governing institutions. I think Mr. Prigozhin's bet and Messrs. Putin and Xi Jinping in China is that the American public will increasingly see their system as Mr. Prigozhin sees his own rigged and corrupt. Let me repeat that. There is a lot of talk in the US of the public losing faith in governing institutions. I think Mr. Prigozhin's bet and Messrs. Putin's and Xi's is that the American public will increasingly see their system as Mr. Prigozhin of the Wagner Group sees his own, rigged and corrupt. He finally concludes, I don't think Mr. Trump, Hunter or Joe Biden has to go to jail to ensure respect for the law. But it matters, according to Henninger, considering where the world is going, for the US to remain a credible example of the rule of law at work. That will make it even more likely that the rule-free Prigozhins of the world are wrong about us and won't win. Until our next episode, I'm your host, John Aidan Byrne.
You are listening to Dig Life Deep with John Aidan Byrne. You can reach the host in the U.S. at 973-529-4699. That's 973-529-4699. 973-529-4699. Email burndesk@gmail.com. That's burndesk, B-Y-R-N-E, desk at gmail.com. Burndesk@gmail.com. Subscribe for free.